بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and a very warm welcome to this week's edition of the program. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We thank Allah for life, for iman, for health. These are such great ni'mas that only Allah can give us. Welcome to Revival in Motion this Thursday. And it's time for us to review, to revive, and to set the wheels in motion. And doing that with us later on in the program is our honorable guest, Sister Masouda Jaapi, on the topic, Calling Ourselves to Account. We'll hear more from Sister Masouda later on in the program, inshallah. So our program takes us, as it has in the course of the last few weeks and months, actually, as we've sought to understand more about the divine, beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the course of the last few months, we've looked at what is it that we are meant to be learning from the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we walk in the light of this, in the shade of these beautiful names? How can we be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live the most conscious lives? Today, our topic is taking our needs to the one who has no needs. Allahu Akbar. One sister in particular said that there was a realization that came to her when she was young and only just starting her journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may seem obvious to some, but this realization changed her outlook and her relationship with those around her for the better. She writes, "On one day, I was very frustrated. I wanted someone to talk to. Actually, I felt like I needed someone to talk to. None of my friends were answering their phones. My family seemed distracted at home, and I was starting to feel irritated. And then it hit me. People cannot be there for you all the time. It's not because people are bad. Actually, most people are good. But all people have their own needs. And because we all have needs, we necessarily all have limits. A person may want to be there for you, but sometimes they just cannot. Sometimes they're dealing with their own issues. Sometimes they are juggling too many things for you to be their sole focus. Sometimes you may, you know, they may not know how to help you. But not Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. He is needless. He is rich. He is self-sufficient. And he is limitless." What a liberating thought. There are two things that you and I have to realize about Allah al-ghani. The first is that we are human and we have needs. Yet our ultimate and true need is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is that Allah does not need us, nor anything for that matter. Allah is completely independent and self-sufficient. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has no dependency. In Surah 35, Ayah 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. O mankind, you, it is you who stand in need of Allah, while Allah is free of need, the praiseworthy. In truth, we all need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us may realize it and some may not. If we do not, we may seek to assuage the calling of our souls with quick fixes. But just like we cannot quench our thirst by eating dry foods, we can never fulfill our needs by ignoring the very thing we do need. Quick fixes may provide a temporary distraction, but the need will always remain. As Ibn al-Qayyim said, in the heart there is a void that cannot be filled except by his love, turning to him, always remembering him, and being sincere to him. Were a person to be given the entire world and everything in it, that would never fill the void. And this may be our ultimate problem. We do not realize that we need Allah, or how much we need him. And so we fill, or we attempt to fill that void with things that were never meant to fill it. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, we are told in the Quran, helps two women get water from the well. Someone else would feel proud that they just helped someone who is in need. But Musa alayhi salam understood something. He sat down in the shade, and his words are recorded till the end of time in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qasas, Surah 28, Ayah 24. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. So he watered their flocks for them. Then he went back to the shade and said, My Lord, indeed, I am, for whatever good you would send down to me, in need. رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Surah 28, Ayah 24. It is a good habit for us to also be reading this dua and making this dua regularly. You see, Nabi Musa alayhi salam knew that he was impoverished before Allah, even when he helped someone else in need. The second part to understanding that Allah is al-Ghani is to realize that nothing that we do benefits or hurts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our prayers do not give Allah anything, nor do our sins hurt him. We do these things out of love and reverence, and because Allah has commanded us to do so. We know that they are good for us. Allah is needless, yet he understands our needs. So he gives us the antidote to our illness. Allah teaches us the best way to fulfill the needs of our heart, our body, and our soul. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my servants, you will not attain harming me so as to harm me, and you will not attain benefiting me so as to benefit me. O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you and the humans of you and the jinn of you were all as pious as the most pious heart of any individual amongst you, then this would not increase my kingdom an iota. O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you and the human of you and the jinn of you were all as wicked as the most wicked heart of any individual amongst you, then this would not decrease my kingdom an iota. O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you and the human of you and the jinn of you were all to stand together in one place and ask of me, and were I to give everyone what he requested, then that would not decrease what I possess, except what is decreased of the ocean when a needle is dipped into it. O my servants, it is but your deeds that I account for you and then recompense you for. So he who finds good let him praise Allah. And he who finds other than that, let him blame no one but himself. This hadith Qudsi is recorded in the works of Imam Muslim. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives over and over and over again, because our sins do not harm Allah, but they harm us. And this is why Allah accepts even the smallest of deeds, because how big or small they are does not affect Allah positively or negatively. The deeds help us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us anything and everything because He does not need any of it. Ultimately, it's you and I who are the ones in need. And so we take our needs to the only one who has none. So the realization that people have boundaries and they are tired and they have their own temperaments and they have their own issues, that can and the only one we can fully rely on is Allah, that can help us in our relationship with other human beings. Right? It may seem counterintuitive, right? That how can the realization that people cannot be there for you improve your relationship with them? You see, with this realization, we stop projecting our unrealistic expectations onto other human beings. And so that prevents us from being disappointed as a result of those failed expectations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us people as gifts, but they were not meant to fulfill our every need. So when we find that those we love cannot give us something, it's time to redirect that need, as we should have, to Allah Al-Ghani Himself, and to be forgiving and understanding of their situation. And something amazing happens here, because Allah is also Al-Ghani, the enricher, and He can enrich you. He enriches you to a point where you can love people, while ultimately your dependency is on Him. Imam Al-Ghazali states that a person who has no neediness except for Allah the Most High, that person will be called rich, the Ghani. So how can we connect to these divine names, Al-Ghani and Al-Mughni? The first thing is to realize that you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you cannot do anything without His help. This will enhance our ibadah. This will enhance our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we understand that, for example, our salah is to fulfill a certain need of our souls, we can make more of a conscious effort to improve and beautify our salah and to use it to connect to Allah. And our dua will have more meaning when we realize that we are the ones truly in need. The second thing that this divine, beautiful name teaches us is this: to understand that people have needs, because only Allah is free of all needs. And what this will do is it will ensure that our ultimate dependency is not on people, and that we don't have these unrealistic expectations. When we feel that others have let us down, we can redirect ourselves to the one who has no needs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the servants of Al-Ghani and Al-Mughni. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who recognize and who realize that it is Allah and Allah alone that we must turn to, for it is Allah who meets all our needs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us this understanding. May this be a means of us building harmonious relationships. Ameen. So, we're going to continue now with this beautiful inspiration, upliftment. And after this, we'll be hearing from our guest, Sister Masouda Jappi, on our topic of holding ourselves to account. This piece is entitled, Need Washing. A little girl had been shopping with her mum in Woolies. She must have been 6 years old, this beautiful red-haired, freckle-faced image of innocence. It was pouring outside, the kind of rain that gushes over the top of rain gutters, so much in a hurry to hit the earth, it has no time to flow down the spout. We all stood there, under the awning, just inside the door of the Woolies. We waited, some patiently, others irritated because nature messed up a hurried day. I am always mesmerized by rainfall. I get lost in the sound and sight of the heavens washing away the dirt and dust of the world. Memories of running, splashing, so carefree as a child came pouring in as a welcome reprieve from the worries of my day. Her little voice was so sweet as it broke the trance we were all caught in. "Mum, let's run through the rain," she said. "What?" Mum asked. "Let's run through the rain," she repeated. "No, darling. We'll wait until it slows down a bit." The young child waited a minute and repeated, "Mum, let's run through the rain." "We'll get soaked if we do," Mum said. "No, we won't, Mum. That's not what you said this morning." And the young girl tugged at her mother's arm. "This morning? When did I say we could run through the rain and not get wet?" "Don't you remember? When you were talking to Daddy about his cancer, you said, 'If God can get us through this, he can get us through anything.'" The entire crowd were completely silent. I swear you could not hear anything but the rain. We all stood silently. No one left. Mum paused and thought for a moment about what she would say. Now, some would laugh it off and scold her for being silly. Some might even ignore what was said. But this was a moment of affirmation in a young child's life, a time when innocent trust can be nurtured so that it can bloom into faith. "Darling, you are absolutely right. Let's run through the rain. If God lets us get wet, well, maybe we just need washing," Mum said. Then off they ran. We all stood watching, smiling, laughing, as they darted past the cars and, yes, through the puddles. They got soaked. They were followed by a few who screamed and laughed like children all the way to their cars. And yes, I did. I ran. I got wet. I needed washing. Circumstances or people can take away your material possessions. They can take away your money. They can take away your health. But no one can ever take away your precious memories. So don't forget to make time and take the opportunity to make memories every day. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. I hope you still take the time to run through the rain. I thought that was so beautiful and I wanted to share that all with you because in life we are all so busy. We get so busy doing things, and we forget to really take a moment to breathe, take a moment to realize who is in control, and it is Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming up, inshallah, after this break, we're going to be hearing from our esteemed guest. Mu'allima Mas'ooda Jappi is the co-founder of Baqiyat al-Salihat Tutor Center. She's also a teacher, motivational speaker, and a life coach. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. It's always inspiring and uplifting when we connect with her. We'll hear from her after the break as she shares with us more on the topic of calling ourselves to account. In the program today, we've asked her to share with us more on Surah Al-Inshiqaq. Surah Al-Inshiqaq is a surah that mentions the two groups of people on the Day of Judgment. She explains these groups to us. We then asked her that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the terms Hisaban Yasiran and Hisaban Asiran. So how do we understand these terms when we are learning about calling ourselves to account? Our third question to Ma'alima Mas'ooda is, what is Muhasabat al-Nafs? And how do we apply Muhasabat al-Nafs in our daily lives? And our last question is for her to share with us her general nasiha. All of this coming up, inshallah, after the break with Mu'allima Mas'ooda Jappi as we learn more about calling ourselves to account. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us this time that we spent in each other's company as a means for getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who benefit from our deen fully. We ask Allah to make us sincere in our dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who are successful in deen, dunya and akhirah. We ask Allah to cleanse our hearts from malice, jealousy, hatred, self-admiration, show-off, envy, arrogance and pride. We ask Allah to give us the ability to forgive others, to grant us soft speech, to protect our tongues from lying, backbiting and hurting others. We ask Allah to grant us correct aqidah, excellent memory, and understanding of our deen with dalil. We ask Allah to help us maintain good ties with our relatives, to help us see our own faults and to cover it from others. We ask Allah to not humiliate, let others humiliate or mock or oppress us or take advantage of us. We ask Allah to forgive the entire Muslim Ummah from the living and the dead, and to bless the Muslims with goodness and to grant victory to the oppressed. We ask Allah to fill our hearts with beautiful iman, and O Allah, accept our small broken efforts at doing good. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Qadir, Ya Sami', Ya Alim, Ya Mujib, Ya Allah, we turn to you in repentance and in submission, and we ask you to please fulfill our du'as. Ameen. That brings us to the close of this segment. And after the break, inshallah, you can look forward to hearing from our guest, Mu'allima Mas'ooda Jappi, on the topic of holding or bringing ourselves to account. Until we meet again, inshallah, next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hafidhani Hana. Jazakumullahu khairan for allowing me to be in your esteemed company. Alhamdulillah, it is always a pleasure joining you. Once we've gathered on the plains of Hashr, we would be needing to account for all our deeds in this world. As we know, each and every person will be given our book that contains the record of all our deeds. We can understand that there is two angels who record whatever we do and we say, and their names are Kiram and Katibin. Now imagine, as a sign of honor, you will be given your book in your right hand. And you will be saved and happy on the day of resurrection, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Shiqaq, then as for him who will be given his record in his right hand, he surely will receive an easy reckoning and will return to his family in joy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Haqqa, with regards to receiving your book of records in your right hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then as for him who will be given his record in his right hand will say, here, read my record. Surely I did believe that I shall meet my account. So he shall be in a life well-pleasing in a lofty paradise. The fruits in bunches whereof will be low and near at hand. Eat and drink at ease for that which you have sent on before you in days past. So for all your good deeds and your righteous good deeds, this would be a pleasing, easy reckoning, as well as a life that he would be spending in Jannah, subhanAllah. Now, but as for those who are disbelievers, who are hypocrites, and the followers of misguidance, they'll be given their book of deeds in their left hand from behind their back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but whosoever is given his book of records behind his back, he will invoke for his destruction, and he shall enter a blazing fire. Furthermore, in Surah Al-Haqqa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, but as for him who will be given his record in his left hand, he will say, I wish I had not been given my record, and that I had never known how my account is. Or that it had been my end, my death, my wealth has not availed me, my power has gone from me. It will be said, seize him and fetter him and throw him into the blazing fire. Then fasten him with chains whereof the length is 60 cubits. And now once your book of deeds has been given, it will be said to everyone that this our record speaks about you with truth. Verily, we are recording what you used to do, that the angels would record, and like I mentioned before, Kiram and Katimin. And we are reminded again to be able to take cognizance of what we do. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in Surah Isra to read your book. You yourself are sufficient as a reckoner against yourself on this day. So there's the two groups of people that we are mentioning that would be on the Day of Qiyamah and how they will receive their books. According to certain scholars, it will be as if you are aware as to whether or not, or you'd be too shy to be able to receive your book, so you'd be trying to hide your hands, therefore your book would be given to you behind your back. So once this happens, then only will your deeds be weighed on the mizan, on the scale. We would be receiving our books. But can you imagine being amongst those who are joyful? That's an indication already. Once you receive your books, subhanAllah, that if you have the honor of receiving it in your right hand, Allahu Akbar, that this, you have fulfilled what has been instructed to you to do, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will return to your family in joy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us such an easy reckoning, and may we return to our family in joy, inshallah. Ameen. I like this question, alhamdulillah. But before I get into the explanation of what hisaban yasiran means and hisaban asiran means, I'd like to just share with you a quick hadith. Now this hadith was narrated by Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah will separate a man belonging from my ummah in the presence of all creatures and will spread 99 scrolls for him, and each scroll extending as far as the eye can see. Then he will say, do you object to anything in this? Have my scribes who kept note wronged you? And the man will say, no, my lord. He will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you have any excuse? And the man will say, no, my lord. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, on the contrary, you have with us a good deed, and you will not be wronged this day. A slip of paper will then be brought out on which the words Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, which means I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, bring your weight, that is the scrolls. And the man will say, O Allah, what is the slip of paper in comparison to all these scrolls? And he will say, you will not be wronged. The scroll will then be put on one side of the balance, the mizan, and the slip of paper on the other. And the scroll will become light and the slip of paper heavy, for nothing could compare in weight to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that comes to us from Sahih al-Tirmidhi. We're looking at hisaban yasiran, which means an easy reckoning, in contrast to hisaban asiran, which means a difficult reckoning. So when we have to make a difficult account, when you have to give account for, once we've received our book of deeds, that is not the complete reckoning that we have to go through on the day of Qiyamah. We still thereafter would need to go through the process of having our deeds weighed on the mizan, on the balance, on the scale. And when this happens, and one of ease, like in the case of this man from the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will have أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, outweigh everything. We can take a lesson from this particular hadith that an easy account, an easy reckoning will be one where even if we have a lot of deeds against our name, whatever good that we do would outweigh it immensely, subhanAllah. And one that would be where we would be scrutinized, every single action of ours scrutinized and analyzed, and we have to give account for. This would be one that is more difficult, having to account for every single thing. There are many instances whereby Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in would not go to bed at night if they had money on their person, for they did not want to answer for this on the day of Qiyamah. In fairness, we would need to ensure that we are so aware of what we have to answer for. And this is a great way in how to keep ourselves in check where we are busy, like how you asked in the question, how we call ourselves to account. So when we call ourselves to account, we need to understand we can stand before Allah and have an easy account, an easy reckoning, or it would be more difficult, that everything that we're going to do would have to answer for. In essence, we take from the hadith that we need to busy ourselves in the remembrance of Allah. Yes, our tongue should be heavy with dhikr. And a reminder here that dhikr is remembering Allah in everything that we do, not just sitting in a secluded area and only just repeating the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is when we put on our shoes and we say the name of Allah and we start it off with Bismillah. When we cook for our family and we start it off with Bismillah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we do so. Sitting out in nature and admiring the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that too is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many ways within our own life that we can increase the amount of dhikr, which is conducive to our own lifestyle, and it's really very easy. There's nothing difficult about it. So inshallah, when we take a look at taking account for our deeds, this would be a way in which we would remember. One day I'm going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I have to give answer for everything that I've done, for everything that I have said, to everyone whom I've said anything to, I would have to give answer for. My intention behind what I do would be that I need to provide for myself for a beautiful, amazing Jannah that I would be so proud to have, inshallah. Ameen. You know, they always say you need to work hard now. You know, with especially from the teacher part of me, you know, you tell your students, work hard, you're going to see the fruits at the end of the year. Same thing with us. We have to work hard here so that when we stand before Allah, we would have hisab and yasira. Muhasabatun nafs refers to taking account of oneself. That is to undergo honest self-criticism. Honest self-criticism is an important way to purify our souls and our nafs and to light the path of blissful success in the hereafter, inshallah, and in this world as well. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Shams, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَنَفْسِي وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. And by the soul and the proportion and order given to it, and its enlightenment as to its wrong and its right, truly he has succeeded who purifies it. That's ayat number 7-9. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the one who's successful here is if you purify your nafs, purify your soul, subhanallah. Taking a look at the words of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he had once said that take account of yourself before you are brought to account, and weigh your deeds before they are weighed before you, and prepare yourself for the day of revelation. Subhanallah. If we are taking a look as the many advices that we are being given as to how we need to police ourselves and judge ourselves, we would need to understand that for us to do so is going to take a little bit of effort on our side. So we need to be honest with ourselves. So this is very hard for us to be honest, you know, because a lot of the time we have the tendency to want to protect ourselves and defend our actions. So honesty is key. And once we are honest, we need to acknowledge our actions here. Acknowledge that you have committed a sin or you are at fault. Whether this sin is against your own self, against others, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to acknowledge this particular and take responsibility. It's very, very important. And then when we have done all of these things, remember, most important is that we would need to do this frequently so that nothing falls and slips through the cracks. So that genuine and frequent moments whereby we are sitting in with ourselves, with our thoughts. And it's very difficult to do it in a surrounding or in an area where everyone else is around us. But so find time where you can do this on your own every day. Maybe you make it a habit after Isha before you go to bed. And verbalize it as well. So I am not a talker, as in I wouldn't talk about it with anybody else because obviously it's about yourself. But I am a person who writes. There are those who prefer talking to themselves and, like, you know, having an internal dialogue with yourself, and that's perfectly fine as long as you are keeping record of these actions and you have a plan. Lastly, it is to plan to counter these actions. Remember, like we mentioned earlier, a good deed annuls an evil one, so we would need to do something good. We would need to apologize if we have wronged someone. Or we need to make tawbah for the action that we have committed, for the sin that we've committed. And once we have done this and we've counteracted it, then we are constantly now ensuring that we have made this muhasabah. We have now taken criticism as, you know, and we've self-evaluated and we've done this for ourselves, alhamdulillah. Now there are a few things that actually impede muhasabah to nafs, and this is our pride, because sometimes we don't own up to our faults and we believe we are right. So our pride prevents us from actually doing this. And we justify everything that we do because it's justified, you know, that they are the ones who started it first, or it's never me kind of thing. And the misconception that honest self-criticism prevents us from having that, you know, having fun or living in the moment kind of thing, because you're always double guessing and second guessing yourself. No, it isn't that. It is remembering that ultimately when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the ultimate goal that we're looking for, is to be successful there, even if it's a little bit more difficult now. Nobody said that this life is promised to be easy. But Jannah is, alhamdulillah. And for that Jannah, Allah will test us. And we know that those tests are promised in the Quran. Now, it's redundant for us to say that, you know, all human beings make mistakes. Admitting sins is like the first step of us to be able to, you know, disburden ourselves of this guilt. And if we don't do so, we allow those things to fester and, you know, lethally grow within us. And like whether we now start developing bad habits, and unfortunately we never make tawbah for those sins. One of the last actions that really impede the way for muhasabah to nafs is denial. You know, there's a famous French proverb that says, a fault denied is twice committed. And it is so true, because once, if you're denying that you are responsible or you're denying that it even happened, ultimately it's bound to happen again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to really truly take account of ourselves. As we were given advice by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu to take account of ourselves, inshallah we will do so. Jazakumullah khairan once again. I have to start off there and say Jazakumullah khairan to you and the listeners for allowing me to be in your company for today. And these are moments which I really truly treasure, for I work on myself firstly, you know, and I look at and I do some introspection, especially with all the amazing topics that we discuss, alhamdulillah. But the advice that I'd love to leave our listeners with is that we should not overcomplicate and you know, overstress and make life difficult. As Islam is not difficult, it's actually really very easy. And what we tend to do is we get bogged down by all the different types of things that we are supposed to be doing, and we feel it's such a burden. Whereby in actual fact, it becomes so easy for us to practice once we fully commit our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one way in which we can guarantee ourselves a hisaban yasiran is to truly accept the role of an amatullah, a slave of Allah. And if we accept this role of being an amatullah, everything else becomes one of ease. But we don't question, we don't, we don't get angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that we do becomes an action of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be our dhikr, whether it be our salah, whether it be our fasting, whatever we do, we would do solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we struggle with the concept of being an amatullah because we live too much in the now, and we're not seeing our ultimate abode, which is Jannah. So keep your eye focused on the ultimate goal, which is Jannah, and inshallah things will become easier. Remember, reliance on Allah is most important, and in these moments whereby we falter and we make mistakes and we would commit sins, whatever the case may be, and there would be that we would be committing sins. However, we need to ensure that our heart is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even in those moments, we would feel that yearning to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and correct ourselves. Inshallah, ameen. Well, jazakumullahu khairan once again for having me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.